This is Mad Brunch, about to make food for brunch. This was all about. So, stay with us and join us, you know, it's great. Bloody Christ, so yeah.
My name is Pedro. I like to eat al fresco. Sometimes I eat alone. Sometimes I eat with friends.
Hello, today you joining me, Pierre, from the caves of Yorkshire, and we're looking for the elusive, lesser known cave prawn. And you know, like, we have a special expert in cave prawns with me today, Professor Ralph Hitchingbottom. And I'll pass you over to him because he knows quite a lot about such cave prawns.
Thank you, Pierre. The cave prawns are a lesser known cousin of the sea prawn, only recently discovered in the mid-1960s by Ronley Holifor, an African explorer of European descent. He spent many years down in the Yorkshire caves looking for cave prawns, and when he found them, he rushed to the surface and told everybody about it.
But I hear that no one believed his stories, that there is such thing as a cave prawn. You know, this is very odd, because I've only ever heard of two or three cave prawns ever being one eaten but yet found, and there are people are both dead now.
This is true, Pierre, but you see, Roland Sosa, rather, was a total cunt.
Sorry, what was that earlier, Peter? I kind of lost it. It was a bit pidgin English.
Roland Zafarafa, the explorer.
Oh, right.
He was a total cunt, and no one really believed him. For many, many years, he tried to insist that there were such things as cave prawns, and we refused to listen to him. One day, we went down into the caves with a few torches. Yes. Lovely torches. Lovely torches. They were really bright. And we saw some cave prawns, and we rushed to the surface and told everybody that we had found cave prawns. Cave prawns that had never really been verified. So now we are quite certain that in the Yorkshire caves there are many cave prawns, and you can come down here and enjoy them any time you wish.
Well, I might get myself a few of those and cook them up. I hear they are better, larger, and much nicer than the sea prawns that you was first talking of, Peter. But it has been most interesting to see you here, very nice man that you are. You will be joining us later for a little quiz that we have going on. It's nothing much, but just a few questions more than anything. So we'll see you soon. Okay.
Yes, thank you, Pierre. I look forward to the quiz. I'm going to get my thinking cap on, Pierre, and I hope to thrash you because you are a total French bastard.
Yeah.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You are flying debonair. Now I hope that everything is okay. Your caviar's on the go. Your champagne is at the right temperature for your
Meanwhile, on flight 424, flying to Rangoon, there was suspense and drama amongst the crew of British Northwest flight 454.
So then, Giles, we'll soon be landing in Rangoon. Have you seen Miss Daisy lately?
I was with her just last night, dear Rangoon boy.
Miss Daisy, good old lady. Very nice quim. Lovely, tasty quim. I remember diving into that quim in Saudi Arabia, 86.
Yes, there's been a few occasions. She's all good, isn't she? It's a good lot, really.
Indeed. I must say, though, my favourite time was in Yemen in 1992, where we took advantage of some small young goat herders, aged about 82 themselves, flew them over to the small Pacific coast, bumfucked them viciously, and dumped them ashore.
I bet that was not that nice for them, but good for you at the same time. Moving swiftly on, I think, from such things.
Yes, we must. I'm sure the passengers would like to see the view out of the left port window. Please address them over the public address system.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. If you look out of your left side of your window, you will see that there's nothing there apart from sea. That's all there is at the moment on our way to Rangoon. Luckily, we've caught up a little time, we should be landing in Rangoon in what some would say around about an hour. Ladies and gentlemen, just kick back. Feel free to, you know, have another drink and feel good about yourself. Thank you. That's Flying Debonair.
Meanwhile, on flight 454, Al Lamour, the steward, was arguing with Al Lemire, the other steward, at the rear of the plane.
I wanted to serve spicy tomato, but you said we could only have chicken. Now, all I want is spicy tomato, because it's the best thing about. Oh, you're such a bitch.
I don't believe you sometimes. I really don't believe you. I've been out there working my fingers to the bone. Literally my fingers to the bone. And what for? What for? Nothing. They get nothing from you, do I? No help, no support, no real anal sex. Nothing that I really desire as a man thing.
All I wanted was spicy chicken and tomato, and you've made into something which is not really, with all your horrible.
Bad. Mad. Bruh.
John, the alarm's going off.
Yeah, I can hear it, Fred. Why is that going off?
Well, when the... Oh, it stopped now. Anyway, when the alarm goes off... No. Oh, my God.
What was that you saying, Fred? It's gone off again.
Well, I know. When the alarm goes off... It must be wrong. Faulty system. When the alarm goes off...
What's going on now?
I don't believe this. When the alarm goes off, you... Oh.
What's going on? Oh, it's gone off again, Fred.
Listen, I'll tell you what happens when the alarm goes off. You ready?
Yeah.
Well, what happens first?
Oh, I don't know. You were telling me.
Well, when the alarm goes off, yeah. You have to look in the book and find the number for Mr. Giles.
Right.
The alarm's going off.
Oh, not again.
What do you have to do?
You have to find Mr. Giles.
From where?
I don't know.
Where do you look?
In the book.
For Mr. Giles.
For book.
You phone him, yeah. And the alarm goes off, and you tell him the alarm's gone off.
Right.
You don't tell him why.
No.
Because you don't know.
Bad. Mad. Bruh.
This week on Extinct Factor, three dinosaurs battle out to win your vote and make a good comeback.
Good evening. I am Jesse Powell. I am one of the... judges on Extinct Factor, and tonight we are looking for the top talent from three prehistoric dinosaurs, and that's not Tom Jones and others. Okay.
Hello, my name is Robbie Havro. I'm one of the best judges they've ever had on X Stick Factor. I'm an expert in dinosaurs. I'm an expert in pop music. I'm an expert in comebacks. I'm an expert in backs with come on them. I'm an expert in so many things. Without me, this show would be nothing. I'm also joined by our other third judge. She's a lady. She's been in the business for decades. A fucking winner. I'll pass you over now to Tracy Beaker.
All right, I'm Tracy Beaker, and I just know when I see a dinosaur who's a star, I just think to myself, oh, I know I'm going to fucking get one today.
Right, our first contestant, dinosaur today, is Leonard Autopsy, who is a brontosaurus, I believe.
Vickers Weekly program.
Brought to you in association with Tesco's.
Welcome to Vickers Weekly. My name is Father Carver. I work in Lewisham. I'm a vicar. I've been there for about 30 years. It's a good laugh, especially around my way. Church is awesome. Tonight with me, we've got a special guest come over from the States. His name is Reverend Lovejoy. He works out of Minnesota. And he's one of those TV evangelists, earns a lot of money. Reverend Lovejoy.
Hello, everybody there. I'm Crazy Anna for the God and everything we know that Jesus is our friend, okay?
That's right, Reverend Lovejoy. Jesus is our friend, a personal friend of mine. We go back some way now, you know. We used to knock about as kids, me and Jesus. But that's not what we're here for tonight, is it, Reverend Lovejoy?
No.
Thank you, Reverend Lovejoy. I do love it when you American pals get all excited. Right, tonight, Reverend Lovejoy, correct me if I'm wrong, which I'm not fucking normally, we have a band you've brought over from America, a god rock band as they're known in the States, and they play heavy rock music, and they use the power of the Lord in their music to associate with people. Is that true?
Yeah, that is true. Play it through.
That's great, and what are they called?
Cumbucket,
nice name, nothing to do with God, I like that. And the song?
Spaz
by Cumbucket here for you today.
Jesus, everybody's friend. Everybody loves him. Jesus, we love you. Oh, now we love you, Jesus. Jesus, you're fantastic. You are a friend for life. Everybody thinks that you are wonderful. Everybody loves you, you're fantastic. Everybody knows that you're number one in our hearts, in our hearts. Jesus is number one in our hearts. I don't know anybody who don't like our God. His name is Jesus. Jesus, oh now Jesus is our friend now. Everybody knows him. He is a friend named Jesus. Praise the Lord. Everybody loves Jesus. Everybody loves Jesus. He's fucking fantastic. Not me. of plastic.
That was truly wonderful. It got my religious goosebumps goosebumping, like a pack of Nazis going through the Champs-Élysées in Paris. Reverend Lovejoy, I thank you and Cumbucket for coming on and performing Spaz. It's a wonderful single.
No worries!
Thank you very much, Reverend Lovejoy. Now we've got another international man of religion coming on. He's from South Africa, Dr. Charles de Klerk. He's a leading author on the subjects of religion and black people. We're going to have him on, have a quick chat this evening. If you've got any questions, keep them to yourself, because we've got no fucking phones, text, emails, nothing like that, and you ain't going to have a chance to ask him. But it's coming up after one brief religious method. Live at Wembley Arena from the 29th of October to the 15th of November. God, Jesus, Mother Teresa, all those religious ones, not Gandhi. I'm glad you're still with us on Vicars Weekly. As I said before, that short religious message, we've got a man coming over from South Africa. He's with me now. His name is Charles de Klerk, Dr. Charles de Klerk. He's been working in South Africa, in the Church of South Africa, for a number of years. I'll introduce you now. It's Charles de Klerk.
Hello there. My name is Charles de Klerk, Doctor. And I come from Johannesburg. And I've come to on your show to have a little chat about some of the things that goes on where I live.
Thank you, Charles. Obviously, we've got lots to discuss about your country. It's very interesting. Let's set up you've got there. Very interesting layout. Tell me, first of all, about religion. What is the majority religion in South Africa amongst your population?
It is mainly non-believers.
Non-believers? Would that include Satan worshippers and the like?
Yes.
Very, very nasty. It's not what you need, really. But what I'm really interested in is the sort of relationship you have with those that we, shall we say, of the more non-white community.
Oh, you mean of the darker persuasion?
Yes, yes. I mean, obviously, your history in that country. And in terms of religion, has that bridged the gap?
Not really, but to me, I don't mind these people. I've lived with these people for all my life. A lot of people have got misconceptions about me, thinking that I'm a racist. I'm not a racist. I am just a Boer.
Yes, that's true. That's what your wife said when I bummed her earlier. But in the meantime, what we're really interested in is the sort of nuts and bolts of your religion in South Africa. Do you believe in God?
Well, that is a question that it is not for me to ask, answer.
That's not for you to ask, answer, because that is a very strange combination. I'll do the asking, you do the answering. Do you believe in God? Answer once and for all, Dr. Charles de Klerk.
Don't you go that tone with me, young man, because I don't fucking like it. I tell you, don't start it, because no means no. You don't put me over the line.
Well, you're going to lynch me, are you? You're going to lynch me. I know your type.
I'll do fucking worse than that to you, my friend. I have ways. I'll take you back to South Africa and I'll kill you, cut you up piece by piece, my little boy.
You don't realise I come from Lewisham, around where I come from. Jim will crucifix it. And you, my friend, are going to get yourself some concrete pants and a new set of teeth.
Well, I can tell you now, my friend, because I'm not actually... of that persuasion. I'm actually Jewish, and we run the world to our Jews, so you ain't got no fucking chance, my friend. Get yourself some matzahs, get yourself some salt beef, and go fuck yourself, okay? I tell you.
I believe that is the end of Vickers Weekly after that in-depth discussion. Thanks for coming over, you South African wanker, and we're going to move on now. Vickers Weekly will leave you. Bye.
Bad. Mad.
This week on the Cock Report, we investigate the disappearance of trucks and truck drivers in the Welsh Valleys during their logging expeditions. We go in depth, we interview truck drivers, we go to the Welsh Valleys, we look at logs, we do everything we need to do.
Welcome to the Cock Report this week. You join me here
in Cymeargryn in Wales. I'm doing an investigation into the disappearance of truck drivers. Parked up by the dockside here, I'm with Rex Roxburgh. He's one of the Welsh logging drivers, works for Big Tree, the logging company. I'm going to speak to Rex now and ask him what he feels about the disappearance of truck drivers. Rex, how do you feel about the disappearance of truck drivers?
Well, there have been a few, you know, like quite a few going on. A lot of disappearances. Some of my good trucking friends have gone that way.
So, Rex, how do you prevent yourself being kidnapped? Do you press this emergency button?
That's it. I got it straight from a spaceship.
Amazing technology. It must help you against the disappearance factor. So what sort of people are taking truck drivers like yourself? I notice you're American, but you're working in Wales. What sort of people are taking truck drivers?
I don't know. No one knows. No one knows nothing. No one told me anything. I really couldn't comment on that.
So, do you know anyone who has been taken?
I do know, but they ain't come back, so we ain't got nothing to tell.
True, it's a disgusting situation. What has the government done to help you in regards to this disappearing truck driver?
They just laughed at us and said the stupid slater yokum.
Typical government there for you. Right, this week on the Cock Report, we've found fuck all out. Nothing at all. Our interview was useless. We wasted all of our time. It's 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm freezing cold. Rex, thank you very much.
No worries, boy. I'm okay. Thank you.
Next week on the Cock Report, how do you grow a mushroom under your ear?
The year is 1615. The SS Hudumbala has been at sea for 16 years. Only two people remain alive. Deckhand Usta and Lieutenant Petty Officer Hundamar.
Hello, I am Lieutenant Petty Hundamar. Me and my friend are the only ones left. We have sailed and sailed and sailed. We lived on logs and salt.
It's been a very difficult journey. We've sailed north, east, south, and west. We originally had a crew of 84. Now 82 are dead. 80 have been eaten. 2 fell overboard.
The last 2 still alive right now.
Hopefully soon we shall find land. If we do not find land soon, we shall be forced to eat each other. Personally, I do not like the look of him.
I don't like the look of him either.
If we do get back to dry land, there are many things I would like to see. I would like to see a pretty lady. I would like to see small children giggling on the streets. I would like to see sports cars. Even though they have not yet been invented, I would like to see them. I would also like to see telecommunications, as it would have saved us the problem we have had for the last 16 years.
Fucking wankers.
Meanwhile, I will check the compass to see what direction we are heading in. Hopefully, we will not come across any sea monsters like the deep sea sheep.
And also deep sea cow fucker.
The deep sea cow fucker is a dangerous,
deadly.
Deadly. Some would say deadly. I call it myself dangerous.
I say deadly.
If we see one, we will have to shit our pants as quick as we can.
Shit your pants and get paddling.
Get paddling indeed. Meanwhile, I look in the crow's nest and the crow has laid an egg. I will sell the egg as soon as we reach there.
I would claim half of its reward, and we will go ashore and we'll buy more eggs.
And more eggs, and more eggs, and we shall set sail where we shall spend another 16 years at sea, masturbating to copies of Deck Riggers.
And album copies of Christopher.
Christopher, favorite of all sailor.
Mad. Bruh.
1944. East London, Canning Town. Officer Giles Peterson and his companion, Smithers Smithers, are trying to defuse a bomb, unexploded, dropped from a German plane.
Smithers, could you pass me the spanner, please, gingerly?
Yeah.
I see your equipment bag is squeaking, Giles. You must get some lubrication when we return to camp. This bomb, it appears to be the XB-4000.
Yes.
Typical Nazi bomb. I'll show you the cabling system inside. Open the cap.
Yes.
Peer inside.
Yes.
Take your left hand and place that on the interior of the shell.
Yes.
After you do that, take your right hand and place that on the exterior of the shell.
Right.
Once you've done that, Smithers, you have two options.
Right.
You can carry on with your manoeuvres within the shell, or you can call for Superman.
Right, okay.
I suggest you carry on with option A, which is to carry on your manoeuvres within the shell. Grasp the shell firmly, both hands, interior and exterior.
Yes.
Shake the shell.
Yes.
Can you hear that ticking sound, Giles Smithers? Sorry.
Yes.
That sound gives me one indication.
It's a bomb.
Correct, Smithers, and there's something wrong with the bomb.
What seems to be the problem?
Well, unless I'm very much mistaken, this ticking sound is telling me the bomb is a timed bomb and could go bang at any moment.
Could be quite dangerous.
Very much indeed, Smithers. You better inform the perimeter guard of the future explosion heading our way. Now, Smithers, watch very carefully as I remove my exterior hand from the shell casing.
Right.
I now remove my interior hand from the shell casing.
Seems to have some sort of problem.
It's stuck, Smithers. I'll keep removing my hand from the shell casing. Smithers, could you pass me some lubrication, please?
You know that we didn't have no lubrication because the toolbox was squeaky.
Oh, my God. Have you had a piss lately, Smithers?
Not in the last 10 years.
Could you possibly piss onto the casing for me, please?
I'll have a go.
Please do. Have you had sugar puffs for breakfast, for fuck's sake? Smithers, thank you, it's not working. Hand still stuck. Shit. Can you ejaculate quickly? Wank off. No, it's too slow. Run for it, Smithers. Run for your life.
No.
It's going to go bang. Don't stay with me, Smithers. Run, Smithers, run!
Before I forget, Brophy's homosexual.